My name is Juan Galloway. My full name is Juan Carlos Ricardo Galloway. I know what you're thinking, right? That guy is white. That's true. I'm not Hispanic. My father named me Juan Carlos Ricardo when I was born in 1970 in San Francisco, and he wasn't sure if he'd have any more children, so he decided to give me all of his favorite names, just in case. Strangely, though, there were other siblings to come, my brother Michael and my sister Rachel, but the strange thing is my brother Michael was adopted from Guadalajara, Mexico. My brother's Mexican-American, and they decided to name him Michael James Galloway. So that is my story. I'm sticking to it. Just a quick commercial. I do have some books for sale in the lobby about the work that I do with the homeless. One is called God's Beggars, and it's a lot of stories and a lot of scripture and how the Word of God came alive to me on His heart for the poor. And another book is called The Street Bible. It's actually just the book of Matthew and the book of Acts, but it's a paraphrase, much like The Message by Eugene Peterson, only as filtered through my brain. And so it's unique, to say the least. And those all go towards our work and further the cause to help the homeless. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about some real stuff. Is that okay? Sometimes we get a little highfalutin in our theology and doctrine. I'm going to talk real down-to-earth stuff. Because the Lord is changing me. He's still working on me, thank God. You know, this morning, He's still doing it. I want to share a quote with you this morning from a man named Francis Frangipane. And it's from a book, taken from a book called The Three Battlegrounds. Here's what he says. Is your love growing softer, brighter, and more visible? Or is it becoming more discriminating, more calculating, less vulnerable, and less available? This is a very important issue, for your Christianity is only as real as your love. Boy, he really cuts right down to the heart of everything in one little paragraph, right? What is this all about, this Jesus thing, this God thing, this kingdom of God thing? It's all about love. And why does our love, as Christians we're talking about, okay, not unbelievers, but us, why does our love sometimes as Christians grow cold? How is that possible? How does it happen? Why does our love become more discriminating, right? Why do I pace my love? I've only got so much to give out, so I'm going to just give it to a select few. Why is it more discriminating, more calculating? Why has my love become less vulnerable to protect myself, right? And less available. How could that happen? Well, I know we're created to be lights in the darkness. I know we are the change agents. We are God's plan A to change the world. And there is no plan B. It's just us, right? And yet, we find ourselves somehow, many times, living a very small, safe, very measured, controlled existence, not unleashed. And so how does that happen? Well, I'm going to make a suggestion to you today that there's one main tool that the enemy uses to shut us down. And I'm going to call it fear. Now, if I asked most of you when you walked in this morning at the door, are you a fearful person? Most of you probably say, oh, no, I'm pretty good, right? However, if I sat down with you for an hour and asked you, tell me about the stress in your life. Are you going through stress? Oh, yeah. You ought to see the kind of work I have to do, the people I have to deal with, right? Are you dealing with anxiety at all? Yeah, I keep waking up in the middle of the night. My kids are driving me crazy. Worry, nervousness, insecurity. These are all really the same thing. They're fear. And the enemy uses fear. This is an old weapon. He's been doing it since Adam and Eve, right? As soon as they sinned, what did they go and do? They hid, right? They were hiding out as if God couldn't see them behind the bush, right? Where are you? Back here. They were afraid. They felt like they didn't measure up anymore, like they were no good anymore. They were shut down. They were held back. I want to show you a picture of me. I'm the guy on the right. There's my Mexican-American brother, Mike, and my sister, Rachel. And when I was growing up, I was severely insecure. I was so bound up. My self-esteem had bottomed out so low. It was pretty much self-hatred because I was afraid of everything. I was afraid of people. I was afraid of social situations. I wasn't good at anything. I wasn't good at sports, that's for sure. I wasn't good academically, that's for sure. The girls weren't running down the hall chasing me down, you know, to tackle me. That was for sure. I just really didn't feel like I had that much going for me. And I spent a lot of time alone as a result. In fact, that's one of the ways I got good at playing the guitar, is because it was a safe thing to do with the doors locked, you know. Nobody can see me. And so that played into my favor. But the enemy was planting seeds in me to hold me back from my destiny and my future, because God had created me to be this blazing light that was bold and courageous and tearing down strongholds and setting the captives free and loving like no one could ever love. And yet I was boxed in by the enemy because he had convinced me, and I believed it, that I was just never going to measure up to much. My mom and dad were amazing ministers. I mean, they did just so many amazing things for the Lord and still are. They started New York City Relief. That video you saw, 27 years ago, they came here to New York City from Dallas, Texas, with no money, with no supporters, no connections, no relationship, no nothing. They went into debt, but they were following the call of God to go do things they couldn't do on their own. It had to be God, or they'd never make it, you know? And I when I looked at them, and they were on, my dad was on 700 Club, you know, and he would speak in front of thousands of people, and I was like, ugh. I'll never measure up to that. And that's what the enemy causes us to do, compare ourselves with somebody else. And then as a result of that comparison, say, well, I'm not much and I'll never be much. And the enemy causes us to live a very tiny, small existence. It's sad. Fear, it's the same thing the enemy uses against everybody. Here's some of my friends on the streets I want to tell you about. Kathy in the top left corner, I met her on the streets working with the relief bus. She was 26 years old, homeless and pregnant. That's what she's holding up there. That's an ultrasound. Can you imagine sleeping on the street knowing there's a baby inside of you? Kathy was on drugs. She didn't have anywhere else to turn. She was at the end of her rope. And she wasn't just afraid for herself. She was afraid for that baby. What kind of future would that child have? She was scared because she had nowhere else to turn. That's the perfect time for God to be God. In the top right-hand corner, you see a couple named Carlos and Jennifer. When I met them in that photo, they'd only been homeless 1 month, and they are actually sleeping on the roof of a building every night, if you can imagine that, out in the open. But then they got caught, and Jennifer was weeping as we talked and we prayed because she didn't know, where am I going to go now, she said. I don't know what to do. Where am I going to turn? And the bottom left-hand corner, that's a man named Will. I met him on the streets of Newark, New Jersey. Our base is actually in Elizabeth. And we go to Newark every Friday night to 3 locations. And Will was addicted to heroin. And when he came to the bus, the first thing he said was, I need help. I need God. Because he knew if God didn't intervene, he would die. And so we prayed with him as he rededicated his life to the Lord with a loud voice. And with all the faith he could muster, crying out to God because he was afraid that he wouldn't live another year. He wouldn't make it. And then the last photo there is a man named Jose and Nilda, and there's an intern in the middle there from Germany who brought them over to me because she didn't speak English, much less Spanish, very well. And my Spanish was pretty bad, but with a name like Juan Carlos Ricardo, I had to give it a shot and do my best, and they spoke a little English. But basically, they were living in a shelter, elderly couple. Nilda had just had a stroke that year, and so she was walking with a cane. Jose was about to go into surgery for his back, and they lived in a shelter that had a long, long flight of stairs. And Nilda just wept because she didn't know how she could survive living in that environment, not even being able to barely get up to her bed at night. And so I prayed with them. And of course, what we tried to do with all these folks is connect them to a resource to turn their lives around, whether it was the Bowery Mission, the New York City Rescue Mission, Christian shelter, discipleship programs, detox, rehab, medical care, whatever it is, that's what we go to bring, because that's the heart of God, is to take care of the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual. But here's what I found. The same thing they're facing that's devastating them, that's crushing them, that's tormenting them, it's the same thing the enemy uses against me every day, or tries to at least, and that's fear. And once we identify the weapon, we can begin to deactivate it. It doesn't have to rule over us. It doesn't have to reign over us. We don't have to be shut down. We can be everything God has called us to be. I want to share a verse with you from Mark 3:27. That's a picture of me without my shirt on, my jacket. I don't know if you can tell. It's not really. I need to work out some more. But it says, Mark 3:27. It says, in fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Every time I read this verse, I wondered, now who's the strong man? And who's the person tying him up? And is it Jesus or the devil or me or somebody else? I was trying to get a hold of this. And sometimes, you know, Jesus tell parables and they're symbolic. And what does this mean? Well, I'm going to tell you. You and I are the strong man. We have so much power, maybe untapped, but the kingdom of God, the Bible says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of us. That's a lot of power. But a lot of time, we live as if we are so weak and have so little capacity. We can barely make it through the day or the year or the week, whatever. And yet God says, we're a strong man. And yet this strong man, us, you and I, has been tied up. The enemy can't come in and rob us of our effectiveness, rob us of our spiritual gifts, rob us of our light that can shine. He can't rob us unless he ties us up. Well, the very thing he's tying you and me up with is fear, worry, insecurity, low self-esteem, right? Anxiety, stress. It rules over us instead of God ruling over us. And so he came, Jesus, to set the captives free and destroy the works of the enemy. But we're called to fight. We have a part in this. It won't just hit us over the head, oh, I'm free. We have to engage. We're called to be warriors. And we've got the victory. Jesus won the victory. But we've got a big part to play in this. Now let's talk about fear. What is fear? False evidence appearing real. It may look true with the enemy saying over us and into us and about us. But the fact is, everything he says about us, negative, is a lie. God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can choose to believe one thing or the other. Now, this next one's really going to get you. You may have to tweet this one even, all right? Get ready, okay? Fear is simply faith in the devil. Now, when you put it that way, I got to stop messing around. The last thing on earth I can afford to do is have faith in what the devil is saying to me. That sounds like blasphemy. That sounds like a horrible lifestyle. Is that what I'm going to do throughout my day? Can I do this? Oh, well, probably not. Should I do this? Well, I can't. Are we going to have faith in what the devil says about us or have faith in what Jesus says? Man. When you put it that way, we got to stop messing around. That's what I feel convicted, because I'm battling this stuff just like you do every day. Fear is simply faith in the devil. I saw that on Facebook, I'm going to admit. Now, what lies has the enemy told you about who you are? Has he told you you're not smart enough? Has he told you you're not talented enough? Has he told you you're not charming enough? Has he told you you're not good-looking enough? Has he told you you're not spiritual or holy enough? What has he told you that you've accepted as if it's true? Maybe he even spoke it through somebody in your life, your parent, your teacher, your boss, your friend. And that seed got planted so deep that it took root and it's never let loose of you. And so it has become your identity. That was me. And yet the enemy has no power over Jesus. Jesus, the name of Jesus is more powerful than the other name. Amen. Now, let me tell you what we usually do instead of getting set free and taking hold of our victory. We turn to something else. You know, here's what Yoda said. Fear is the path to the dark side. I don't want to go to the dark side. But here's what I do. Instead of walking in the light, I turn to other things to try to get through all my fear and worry and stress and insecurity. All kinds of things. Some things are good, some things are bad. Food isn't a bad thing, but if I use it to get through all of the angst and the fear and the low, the insecurity, if that's what I'm using to get through it, then that's an idol. If I use entertainment, if I can't cope with life, instead of turning to Jesus, I turn to binge-watching Netflix or Facebook or whatever it may be. It could be anything. Pornography. Sports can be an idol. Workaholism. I work full-time for Jesus in ministry, but I can tell you that I can overdo it. And because I don't feel good about myself, I can just work extra hard to prove something to myself or try to lift myself up as if that's possible to make myself better than I really am. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. Maybe it's shopping. Maybe you're maxing out your credit cards because it's just quick relief. It's the path of least resistance. Sure, it can be drugs and alcohol, but I found I can be addicted to almost anything to try to get through. And the Lord wants to set us free from these things. But how do we beat fear? How do we get set free from this stuff ruling us instead of Jesus? You know, an important command in the Bible, Jesus said, fear not. It's not an option. I know that when I'm very fearful and insecure and anxious and stressed, I tend to feel really sorry for myself and have a nice pity party. That's what I do, instead of turning to Jesus. And yet Jesus says, no, fear not. Rise up, right? And so I love this. When we come to church, even church can be a coping mechanism. Isn't that terrible? Church is wonderful. It's the place where the presence of God can fill us and change us. And yet, we may be dying inside, going through the worst time of our lives, and we walk in the door and people say, how you doing? Oh, fine. Fine. Really? Yeah. I'm freaked out, insecure, nervous, emotional. It's all going on, but praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we fake it, right? But we've got to find a place to be real because we're loved by God, because the grace of God is on us. He chooses me with the mess that I am. He loves me despite myself and all my flaws, of which I have many, you know? Check this out, 1 John 4:16. It says this, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. I'm not relying on my coping mechanisms. I'm not relying on just trying to constantly comfort myself and hold and prop myself up and juggle too many balls and spin too many plates and like, look at me, I'm okay, right? I'm okay. I don't have to do that anymore because I'm loved by God. And it says, that's what I'm turning to. That's what I'm gonna tap into. That's my rock, right? That's my root. And then he goes on to say this, God is love. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. We've got to tap into the love that he has for us and believe it with all our hearts and receive it with all our hearts. And it's like, God, I know how messed up I am, but you love me and I just don't deserve it. And I'm so grateful and you're the best and you choose me. Man, thank you, God. When you count your blessings, it's so healthy. It's one of the healthiest things you can do emotionally, mentally. It cleanses all the junk in your mind is to thank God for every blessing. And he goes on to say this, this is how love is made complete among us so that we all have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. Awesome. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Now, I want to unpack this just a little bit, okay? There is no fear in love, but perfect love, hold on, drives out fear. Now, driving out is a violent act, okay? It's like if somebody, You went home today, somebody kicked open your door. Let's say you're having a Sunday meal. They kick open the door, they come in like a maniac, right? They're like, I'm beating you all up, I'm gonna kill you and burn your house down, and you know, and my kids are there and they're cowering, you know, what would I do? You're out. Out! I would drive them out, right? This is my family. You know, it doesn't matter what happens to me, you're out, you're going. Perfect love drives out fear because of Jesus' passion for us. He can't stand to see us bound up, locked up in this fear, living a small, shriveled up life because we're too afraid of how we might fail again. That was me, bound in fear of failure all the time. I don't want anybody to look at me. I want to hide like Adam and Eve because I feel less than, I feel worthless. And so, perfect love drives out fear. See, fear has to do with punishment. That's what the enemy's job is now. He just wants to torment us, torture us, and punish us for following Jesus. And so he'll just do anything he can to shut us down. But the one who fears is not made perfect in love. And so most of us, I'd say all of us in this room, we're not made perfect yet, right? Man, I wish I was made perfect. But I'm not all the way there because it's a battle. It's a fight. The word is a sword. I'm in it, right? And so he is perfecting us, but he's not done. But we've got to get involved. We love because he first loved us. Now check this verse out. Romans 12:9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. This is what love looks like. He's wanting to set me free from me to dive into other people's lives. Because I can't just say, oh, I just love the world. Oh, they're all, yeah, God's love is in me. I just feel it. It's all over me. And then never do anything about it, right? I've got to do something. My heart's got to be laid out there. I've got to be sincere. People got to know it's real, like it grabs them. I've got to devote myself to people. Now, here's the problem, guys. I have to be honest. I'm an introvert, okay? I'm not an extrovert. I'm not gregarious. I don't like to go to parties. I don't like to be around big crowds. None of that. I really don't like that stuff. I like just chilling in the crib with my kids, playing a little PS4, strumming a little guitar, just taking it easy. I recharge my batteries, got to have some alone time. Maybe you can relate to that. I was a shy kid, you know, that's just who I am, right? I have to be honest. A lot of times I don't like people. That's embarrassing, right? I want to be a man of God, but not liking people, that doesn't sound right to me. The Lord's calling me out of me. He's pulling me out of myself to be who he is. He's calling me to live like Jesus, okay? And so he gives me the power, the strength, the energy to lay down my life for others. That's what going out in the relief bus is about. It's not coming, showing up as, I got all the answers, let me tell you what to do, you poor, pathetic thing. No, it's just, I don't know what to do either. Let's look at Jesus together. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. You know, we're brothers and sisters. Let's lift each other up, you know? Let me wash your feet. You wash my feet. But God is calling us to do radical things like that, to honor one another. He says, rejoice. This is what it looks like. It's doing life together. Rejoice with people who rejoice. But then also mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Now, this is the sticking point. I'm going to tell you the hard part. God is calling us to love people that is nothing like us. People that are totally different than us. Maybe culturally, personality-wise, the way they look, the way they talk, the way they act, the music they like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Different religions, different lifestyles, doesn't matter. He's calling us to dive in and love like we've never loved before. Remember that quote in the beginning? What is this Jesus thing about? It's about love, radical love. But how do we do it? It's God, how do I draw intimate to these people you've put at work that I see every day? How do I go past a relationship that's that deep? How do I really let them know I love you, I care about you, I'm here for you, or my neighbor, or my family, or whoever God has put around us? He's calling us deeper to a radical life of love. Perfect love drives out fear. It's intense. You can't be a mamsy-pamsy Christian and try to change the world. I can't even change myself, much less the world. I have to have God's love, and I have to have take hold of it and say, God, nothing is going to hold me back. I've only got this one life to live. You've put these people around me. I'm going to do whatever it takes to show and demonstrate and lay down my life, and so they know that I care, that I'm in there with them. I'm not going to let fear rule me anymore. Life's too short for that garbage. Hebrews 12:29 says, for our God indeed is a consuming fire. Now, remember before it said God is love. This is kind of cool. God is love, all right? God is fire. That's what this verse is saying. Whew, love is fire. It's all the same. And it says, let love for your fellow believers continue and be a fixed practice with you. All the time that your life is like, how do I bless them today? What do I do? God, give me a project to love them just extravagantly. Do not forget or neglect or refuse to extend hospitality to strangers. Oh, man, God, come on. Strangers, too? You know how uncomfortable I get around people I don't know. They're not safe. What are they going to think about me? Man, if I had a nickel for every time I thought, what do they think about me? And carry that around like a big boulder. What do they think about me? What do they think about me? What are people thinking about me? What are they thinking about me while I'm preaching? Why are they thinking about me while I'm doing this, playing my guitar? What are they thinking about me while I'm working? Most people aren't thinking about us at all, right? It's just lies, 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 lies. And we're consumed in our mind, and these tapes are playing, and it's just like, the Lord is saying this morning to us, lay it down. Lay down your fear. Fear not. Stop it. Embrace my love and grace, not because you're good enough, because you sure know you're not good enough. You're never going to be good enough. But he loves us just the way we are, and that's our message and our love. That's what we demonstrate to others. You're not good enough either, but I love you so much. You're amazing. That's the love of God. And then it says this, remember those who are in prison as if you were their fellow prisoner, and those who are ill-treated. And then so we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. In other words, I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Now, I want to wrap up with this quote, because I think it's so powerful. It's by a guy named Jean Vanier. And he was a Catholic philosopher, man of God, truly loved the Lord. And what he did is he started a community for the developmentally disabled, the mentally ill. And he created this community so they could be loved. And so they could journey with Jesus together and follow God and worship. And they took care of them. And he actually went from one to, they're all over the world. And he passed away now. But this is what he said. And this is really the core of what I'm talking about. It says, if we are always looking for our own equilibrium, I'd even say if we are looking too much for our own peace, we will never find it. This thing we keep going after, we'll never, because peace is the fruit of love and service to others. I'd like to tell the many people in communities who are looking for the impossible ideal, stop looking for peace. Give yourselves where you are. Stop looking at yourselves. Look instead at your brothers and sisters in need. Be close to those God has given you in community today. Be close. And work with the situation as it is. Ask how you can better love your brothers and sisters. Then you will find peace. All, you see, the greatest fear I think I have is that I'm not going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. I'm going to be overextended, overstretched. I'm going to lose my cool. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to be successful. I'm not going to produce. Then everybody's going to see, and I'll be embarrassed, and I'll be a big failure, and everybody will know it. All of that is a waste, and it's sucking up all my mental and emotional energy and draining me constantly, right? And God just sweeps it all away and says, no, you're loved. I've called you to love. And as I begin to put aside me and begin to serve like Jesus did, washing feet, loving the hungry, the hurting, the broken, the prisoner, the outcast, the mentally disabled, the Muslim, the New Ager, those who are gay or trans or what, laying down my life for people Jesus died on the cross for, putting aside all my judgments, putting aside all the things I hold against them, all the things I use to prop myself up to look good, put it all aside and say, God, what am I here for? I'm here to love people. This is what it's all about. How do I do it, God? And as I begin to step out in faith, to do things that are very nerve-wracking for me, to talk to strangers who are homeless, to talk to people who are hungry, to talk to people who are broken, and talk to people who are unsteady, to enter into their life with them and to get to know them as a friend, a real brother, a real sister. Let me tell you, it's the best thing on earth I've ever. I love my life. I love my job. I met a woman Friday in Harlem. Her name is Patricia, and she had been homeless for 20-something years and addicted to crack. Her teeth were all missing on top and all rotted on the bottom. And she told me when she came to the relief bus 4 years ago, she met a woman named Johanna, who's one of our outreach leaders. And Johanna told her about Jesus and told her about God's heart and God's destiny. And she went and she got in a Salvation Army. She got her a place to stay. They found an apartment. She stopped smoking crack. 4 years ago, she's been clean. At that time, she weighed like 85 pounds, she said. Nothing. And now she's like 145, she told me. And she said, I'm getting new teeth. And you can't have these experiences and not be changed forever. She's Jesus. You know? She doesn't have probably 2 cents to rub together. I saw joy in her like I wish I had. Peace in her that I want. But I've got to get outside of me. God's calling us outside of us and our comfort and all the ways we like everything to be, so then that's going to be make me happy, and it never does. Because Jesus is, he's the best. And we meet him not just through the word and not just through services and songs, but through people. He wants you to meet him through people, and you'll never meet him through people unless you learn to love people and do things you've never done before. And it's in a huge challenge. I'm going to end with a song this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I wrote this song. I like to write a lot. I write books and articles and songs. And I want us to respond in a worship song, to just respond to what the Lord may be saying to you today. And I know this is the kind of church that when you hear a new song you've never heard before and you don't know any of the words, you don't care. You sing as loud as you can and enter in, right? You don't stare at the person and, you know, you just make them feel awkward. You just sing your heart out because you love Jesus, right? Amen. All right. Here's how the song goes. These first words are pretty easy to remember, okay? Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's try that together. Whoa, whoa. Let your love rise up, let your love rise up, let your love rise up, consume me like a fire. Let your love rise up, let your love rise up, let your love rise up, consume me like a fire. The violent love of God drives out fear. The light consumes the darkness with a vengeance. Let's try that again. The violent love of God drives out fear. The light consumes the darkness with a vengeance. Let your love rise up. Let your love rise up. Let your love rise up. Consume me like a fire. That's our prayer. Let your love rise up. Yes, God. Let your love rise up. Let your love rise up. Consume me like a fire. Whoa, 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 whoa. There's a fire in my bones. There's a fire in my
hold it in. My heart's burning, Jesus, rise up, your love has no end.
Pull down these idols in me, burn up these idols in me, destroy everything in me that's not of you. Sin is crouching at my door, it wants to have me. I will rule over it by the power of your blood. Let your love rise up, let your love rise up, let your love rise up, sue me like a fire, sky. Let your love rise up, let your love rise up, let your love rise up, sue me like a fire. There is no fear in love, perfect me in your love, define me by your love, and I will live. There is no fear in love, perfect me in your love, define me by your love, and I will live. Whoa, 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 whoa. There's a fire. There's a fire in my bones, I can't hold it in. My heart's burning, Jesus, rise up, your love has no end. Let your love rise up, let your love rise up, let your love rise up, consume me like a fire. Let your love rise up, let your love rise up, let your love rise up, consume me like a fire.
Amen.
Let me just say a quick prayer. Lord, you see the fears that are in this room. You see the fears that are in our hearts, that God, we cannot discern even sometimes what's taken root, what's taken hold of us, even from a young age. All the anxiety and stress and worry and low self-esteem and all this garbage that's flooding us in our mind, our heart. Lord, would you right now, we take it and we give it to you and say, Lord, this isn't from you. Burn it up. Get rid of it. Fill me with your heart, your passion, your love, your compassion. Oh God, change me and make me a vessel you can flow through. Lord, let me love like you love me. In Jesus' name, amen.